Personal injury of any sort, it's a big deal. And injury attorney David Femininio has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is dedicated to ensuring you get the care you need and get your life back on track. So when you're injured, make one phone call to David Femininio, 855-65-CRASH, or go to that website, GetDavidGetPaid.com. Get your life back on track. GetDavidGetPaid.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Sure, go ahead. All right, listen, we're going to get to your calls. I want to invite Lions fans in as we continue to talk to Piston fans. If you missed the open, Odyssey.com rewind. It's simple. Yep, you got screwed on the last play of the game, but you also spent the previous 11 minutes and 58 seconds screwing yourselves. So it's both. And I think what I'd like to see is if everybody could now join us in our church, you need star power. You're not going to win with filler. If it's Devin Booker in the corner and not Tim Hardaway Jr., you get that call. And if you concern yourself less with being B.A. Baraka from the A-team and join the NBA in 2025, you probably get a friendlier whistle. I think the Pistons need to level set this summer. I love the foundation they built. I got no problem with defensive culture. The Celtics play great defense. They're your NBA champion, but they do it with stars. They have firepower. You're not going to do it with the bees. Like, look, my fear, you're going to lace Beasley with a $100 million deal. You're going to give Durham 140. You're going to do the whole routine of if it ain't rough, it ain't right. I ain't interested. To me, you've got a window here where the East is going to open up. I think you got a level set, make that move forward, make a bold swing this summer. But no one's denying the league boned you.
Yeah.
So what we're moving into now, I'd love to hear from you. We'll get more of the calls.
Heck, Mike, the league didn't deny it. When they came out, they came out quickly and was like,
our why fault. Do they do that? Why do they do the two-minute report?
You know why? Because you might as well get in front of it instead of everybody saying, you know you were wrong. You know what? We were. We admit we were wrong.
But then make the ref sit at a press conference.
Well, it's a pool report. No. This is one of the biggest gripes that I have with sports of why referees get treated so pampered and they get whisked away with security and you're not allowed to look at them when they walk off the court.
Well, they needed security yesterday the way JB was walking after him.
Well, but again, I'm telling you, Bickerstaff needs to chill. I'll credit him for setting a culture, but he's getting high on his own supply here the last few weeks.
Because JB, what would have happened if you would actually ran into a ref? Then what? You going to beat him up?
Man, how about this? How many rings do you have? You know what my response to if I were a ref would be? Who are you? Who this? Because I'm sorry, you're not Red Auerbach. You're not Pat Riley. Who are you? You're a guy who left Cleveland and they got better. Take a chill. Referee, respect what you did this year, but chill out.
Referee probably like, hey, Chauncey Billups, come get your boy.
Come
get your boy right now.
I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just saying the way JB Bickerstaff is acting. Man, you better be able to go bowling with your rings. You can't do that. You're going to hurt your team long term.
I think so. But because when I saw it at first, I was just like, well, that's not a foul. I saw the replay immediately and was like, well, technically, yeah, that's a foul. Should have gotten called. And I think the league, you know what? We screwed up. Now, it's the most meaningless thing because they're not going to give you foul shots afterwards. They're not going to review it. They're not going to say, hey, you get the final 3 seconds back. Mike, you've seen when the Big Ten used to do it. Yeah, we got that play wrong. Sorry about that Notre Dame game.
See, but here's the thing. And Kate had two chances. One just over a minute and one with the final.
He did the elbow jumper.
And then he had turned the ball over right before that possession. You cannot miss those shots. You make that first one at 107 And then Cat shot, it's just they're down one. You're still winning the game.
Yeah, you let Cat go on, what, a 5-0 run?
By himself.
The Look, the biggest things yesterday, David, you can pull it. Didn't they go something like 6-27 from deep or something like that? They were terrible from three. They turned it over damn near 20 times. You blew an 11-point fourth quarter lead. Those things have to factor into.
Yeah, 7-29 from three.
Sorry, had those numbers a little off. I want to apologize to everybody. That's 24%. Big brain. The point I'm making is I have no animus. I have no anger. I'm thrilled this team has done what they've done this year. I can't bring myself to a point where I'm yelling and screaming about it because I can't believe they're here. The Dunmore and Iserman has.
Yeah.
And that building was built for him.
It was. The fact that you had 7 more possessions than the Knicks had. I mean, you gave it away. Knicks had 7 more possessions because you had 17 turnovers to their 10. That's the problem.
19-10.
Oh, it was 9? I thought it was 17.
19-10, yes.
Oh.
Even worse.
Okay.
So we're rapping about that. We can get to Lions draft as the day goes along. And here's the soft serve beginning of Lions draft talk. We'll get to these calls right now, though.
Yeah, we will. Because, and real quick, when you're the Pistons and you're minus that extra star, it's just Cade. When you're playing games like this, it's very simple. In order to win, you have to make all your free throws, and you can't turn the ball over. You made your free throws, but you kept turning up. You have to steal possessions and do whatever you can because you don't have the same caliber of players that they have. Can you beat them? Yes, but it is a simple formula. You cannot beat yourself. And in that game, the ref screwed you over, but those turnovers, man, point to that before you get so upset.
Yeah, and it's totally okay to say they effed you. They did. But they're going to continue to do it because they don't like you. And you don't give them any reason to like you. I mean, that's reality, guys. Like, it's why I've never subscribed to the whole, oh, if it ain't rough, it ain't right, and going to work and work this.
Straight versus everybody?
I mean, all of that.
Guess what? Everybody won.
Yeah, but you know what all that is? That's just cliche. It's stale. Cade is good enough. You don't need to do that. And look, Celtics play defense. Yes, they do. The Celtics are also very comfortable in a race to 130. You have to be able to play the game the way the sport is. I'm not telling you to lose who you are. I'm not telling you to be, Willow. But like, yeah, man, ain't nobody trying to see beef stew.
I get what you're saying, but I think yesterday went into lore with the Phantom Foul, with the process, with all of that. This will be something that people will bring up for years. You know, Detroit always gets screwed up. Hey, you remember this. You remember the Armando Galarraga, and you remember this, and you remember that. This one, we just added a new member to the Hall of Fame.
Then keep being a victim. Then do that. You know what? The hardest city in the world likes to be a victim, apparently. Good. Do that.
The Disrespect Hall of Fame had a new member yesterday.
No, that's all this town does. They want to act like they're the hardest dude on the block, and then all they do is cry in the corner how life's not fair and how they were victimized. Well, which is it? You don't get to do that. Oh, you want to be Ron Holland? You're not even old enough to buy a beer, and you're chewing out Karl Anthony Towns? I thought the best moment of that game was Cade Cunningham saying, this is my team, and you're acting like a fool ass, and he threw him across the floor.
Now, see, I actually thought the best moment of the game was Tobias Harris when he got into Karl Anthony Towns' face because
it was laughable.
No. He had just picked up that fourth foul. He was hoping that he responded, get the tech. Now he has 5 fouls in the third quarter. So at that one, I was just like, okay, you're playing a little bit of chess here, or maybe I'm giving Tobias too much credit. No, I don't know.
I honestly think this team, it's like delusional. It's like they drink the Kool-Aid, and even guys like Tobias Harris, who's viewed as universally a soft player in this league, thinks he's Mr. T. It's an absurdity. It's an absolute absurdity. He was run out of Philadelphia for being soft. Oh, but you're here, John. You're John, an all-NBA player. Yeah, well, guess what? Cutscene. Just busted your ass.
Well, he had to represent in front of the Detroit celebrities.
Yeah, okay.
See, but that's why I'm upset with J.B. Bickerstaff the way I am. It's because you're supposed to be above it. Let the players be the players, but you got to control the situation. You're acting like a player, being emotional. Oh, we're going to do this, or I'm going after the refs. You got to stop that. David, you got to be a leader.
You know, but players basically take the vibe of their coach. I mean, Monty took the money. Didn't want to be here.
Yeah, you're right. The team played like they were dead.
Right. Well, okay. When's payday? I'll just go out there and play.
Look, Bickerstaff is the coach of the year. He did a wonderful job. But that he has to evolve. This cannot be long-term.
No.
Not like this. So, look, we can rap about it. The soft open for Lions draft is simple. What'd you like? What didn't you like? And we'll give you our thoughts as we go along. But apparently, look, people are super hopped up to talk about the Pistons. We're here for it. But I apologize. If you were tuning in to hear me yell and scream, I told you, there's no outcome I was going to be upset about. The fact that they're here is amazing. The fact that they've competed, fantastic.
The fact that they easily could be up 3-1 going back to New York to close it out tomorrow is what I'm like, wow, this team wasn't that far. They're up 3-1, but it hasn't been blowout games where you're just like, yeah, you're not even close. This ain't the grit. You ain't playing like Memphis. You're actually competing.
You mean this Memphis?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one that got dusted by OKC? No, not at all.
Yeah.
But my whole thing is I'm looking towards the future. And look, that Dame Lillard news in the update, it's that type of stuff. The East is going to be much more open starting next year.
Right.
I think the Pistons have to decide who they want to be this summer.
Right. Well, yeah, you know what? One of the top four seeds, you could be one of those teams with home court.
If you do the right stuff.
Yeah, you make the right moves, you could easily get there.
All right, we'll get with the people. 248-539-9797. You guys have spoken, so we'll roll with it. And we'll get to draft talk momentarily. We're here till 6. What? It's a lovely shirt. The people have spoken. We will get to draft talk momentarily. But you guys are... Listen, that's only if you bought 120-pack Crayola.
You never had that?
No. Oh. 64 is where we maxed out.
I thought it was... What is it,
we weren't living big at fake Lutheran Tech in Southwest Detroit.
I didn't need crayons for high school.
I didn't have crayon. I had the off-brand.
Okay. Wow. Dayola? You know, what were those called?
Dollar store, whatever they were called.
For real?
Yes, for real.
They didn't have a building fund for Greater Life back then?
It wasn't a Greater Life back then.
Oh, that was going for the preacher's Maybach.
Okay, Bedside Baptist. No,
let's go to Basketball Elite. Dre is in Southfield, and he joins the show again. Dre, how are you?
I'm good. Well, for one, you know, Mike, I had to even tell myself this. I had to remind myself, give some Pistons fans some grace. It's been a long time since we've had real basketball playoff implications that we actually belonged on the court and we were competing in, where there can be some controversial calls, and that you have to readjust yourself to, yes, you know, that's a bad call by the refs, but we can't get it both ways. Quite frankly, if the refs would have called the game in the first half the way they did in the first half, this may have gotten blown up by 15. Because
First
half, you watch, the Knicks played, the game was pretty much the Knicks become more skilled. And they were clicking on all cylinders, and the Pistons couldn't keep up. And the only way that Pistons could regulate that, kind of make it a little bit more even, is by increasing the physicality and the refs allowing them to do so.
Yep.
And so in the second half, that's what happened. You know, the Knicks weren't able to adjust to that. The Pistons, that's their game. That's the best they can do, because they're not as skilled. And they were able to flip the game on its head. But it always comes back to, at the end of the day, especially in the NBA, man. Football, you can get away with having a few more try-hard guys. But in the NBA, man, it's all about star power. It's about guys who are shot makers that can make big shots down the stretch. And it came down to that again yesterday, right? You know, Brunson and Cat, the shots they were hitting were
99th percent difficulty percentile.
Durant gets a lot of crap, and rightfully so. He doesn't have the best lateral quickness, especially guarding big men on the perimeter. The two shots that Cat hit in the fourth quarter, one behind the backboard, the other one 35 feet, there's nothing you could do about that. You just tip the cap, you know. And that's when it comes down to, when you want to win at crunch time, you got to have guys that can make shots. Guys who can make shots where the defense does all they can do, and it's just goodness, right? And that's what it came down to yesterday. And on one end, you know, we wanted the game to get more physical. I've been loving it personally. I love the fact that maybe a little bit more balanced, but I like the fact that it's not like the regular season. Let these guys earn buckets. To me, that's the essence of basketball. When it's somewhat close to even, defense can do what they can do, and offense can do what they can do. And I thought they had their opportunities, man, you know. And Cade, he had two chances. You know, he turned the ball over in one possession. I don't know why he decided to try to do a spin move knowing Josh Hart was to his right. I mean, dude, you got to know that Josh is not going to just let you go one-on-one. They haven't been doing it all game. Why would you think you can go one-on-one with a defender on your side and think he's not going to help, right? That's a bad decision by him. And he had a good-looking last shot, you know, and that's what you wanted. And the difference was K misses shots, Brunson and Cat hit theirs. And sometimes you just got to take your lumps when you're a young team. And you know what's funny? I was so shocked that Costa had this condition even going to a series because I think he's one of the most measured people at the station. I never went to this series thinking we're going to beat the Knicks.
Yeah, but Dre, let me help you. Okay, it's pretty well known. I am a fan of Jim Costa. I like Jim a lot.
Yeah, he's great.
I like him personally. I think the world of him professionally. However, when it comes to his own teams, he turns into a complete boner. So I can't, there's nothing I can do. Dre, the man showed up in a sequin shirt saying they were going to blow out the Bills. When it involves his own teams, he's thinking with the wrong head. That's all I can tell
you. And sunglasses, yeah.
It must be, because like what I wanted is pretty much what they've done. It's that I want them to show up to the series, non-embarrass themselves,
yep.
compete, really push the
Dre, business, they're going to be better for it, Dre. They're going to be better for it. I think if they do the right things this summer, they can be a legitimate threat next year. I mean it.
And hold on, Dre, real quick, and I hate to defend Jim Costa. He wasn't that far off the mark because they could have easily won two of these games, and this could be 3-1.
Ifs and nuts, candy and butts.
I mean, what are we doing?
I understand.
One last thing, guys. I'm with you there. But one thing that is just the history of the way – this is the way the league works. You don't skip steps in this league. You look at any championship team in any era.
You're right.
You don't. You just don't. You take your lumps, man, and it sucks, right? You want to stay local. We can stay local. You look at the bad boys.
No, you're 100% right. You can't. You have to make it and lose and learn to win and the whole bit. Dre, you're right. All I'm saying is, this summer they have an opportunity to take a quantum leap forward. They have to make a decision as an organization if that's the route they want to go, or do they want to be the garbage men of the league. And what I mean by that is, you want to keep it rough and grimy, and you're riding the sanitation truck. That ain't an easy world. You know, do you want to get with the times here, get a star for your star, and all of a sudden, no, you're the team that's going to get calls. That's the NBA. It's always been the NBA. Like, I mean, going back to the 50s and 60s, that's the NBA. I'm not interested in being the outsider. I don't care.
You don't like the us versus the world?
No, I don't. I think it's pathetic. I think it's ridiculous. It's fine. I'm proud of living here. This is a hard city. This town has been through stuff that other towns can't imagine. But don't play the damn victim all the time. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, and you also can't add to the stereotype coming out there chanting, you know, basically F you, Brunson.
It was classless.
Yeah.
It was gross.
And before people go on TV, because remember, you were like, you want to be the main game. You want all of this.
Yeah. And you offered that.
Okay, here you go, Detroit.
And mind you, who's Brunson? Like, oh, well, they were doing it to Draymond Green. First of all, Draymond Green is one of the most villainous people in the NBA in 15 years. Draymond has hurt people.
Right.
Draymond was a nutshot doctor. Draymond says incendiary. Do you know what Jalen Brunson does? None of that.
Right. If Draymond got shot, it would be 100 people as suspects. I don't know where to start.
All in the Western Conference.
Right.
248-539-9797. Yes, David.
I have your stat of the day because people have complained about Brunson and how he foul hunts and all of this stuff. You know how many foul shots he shot in the fourth quarter?
Like one? No.
No, he only shot two all game.
Right, so he had zero in the fourth quarter.
Right. He had 16 in the fourth, and they were on daggers. Like, I love people who've watched basketball for 10 minutes. Oh, he's an unethical scorer. Okay, do me a favor. Go back in your cave.
Yeah. His fourth quarters in this series, 12 points, 14, 12, 15.
And making shots. Yes. He's not James Harden 2018 where he had no intent on scoring. That's all. I'm sorry. I don't understand how Brunson's become Darth Vader. If you don't like him because he's good, respect. But the narrative that has been created in the last week,
he's an unethical shooter.
Oh, and I'll say this, because Rico, we had this conversation when Mike was out. While I gave it to people just to not argue, they say, I give you K being the best player. I can't give you that argument ever. I didn't want it to then.
David, you heard those numbers I gave you?
Yeah.
Fourth quarter?
Thank you.
K's? 8-4-7-7. His fourth
quarter. And I hope he learns from it, but Brunson is that guy.
Yeah, and look, Brunson's had a little bit more time to marinate, right? He's on his second team. He's on that new give it time. Cade's fine, man. I just want to put someone with him that isn't roster filler on a real championship team? Because ask yourself, does Beasley, Harris, Hardaway, do any of these people start for any remotely serious team in this league?
I was about to say, would any of them start for the Knicks?
No.
That should tell you something.
No, much less Celtics, Cavs, etc.
No, right, but the team you're playing, if they're like, Cade, right. Yes, we will take him. What about the other guys? You're coming off the bench.
That's all right. Jim Costa told me this would all be easy. 248-539
okay,
97-97.
Natural. Well, you know, I'm just going to move forward.
A lot of hubris. And yes, we will get to the draft. I promise. But this Pistons thing's kind of a big deal. People are really into it, and so are we. Honestly, it's playoff action. It's something Eiserman can't deliver. So it's very exciting for us. But David, some ticket text, and we'll go right back to the callers.
Cade is killing Brunson. Hatchet waiting to luckily get a 3-1 lead to say Brunson somehow is better. The Knicks would trade 2 number ones right now for Cade.
Okay,
what is wrong with people?
Hold on. Wait, real quick.
No, hold on. Watch this. And here's Rico.
Say that one more time in my good ear.
Cade is killing Brunson. Hatchet waited for a lucky 3-1 lead to say Brunson somehow is better.
How is he killing Brunson? Because here's the thing. In the fourth quarter is where your legacy is made. That's where people look at the Steph Currys of the world and say, hey, they're going to hit that shot. There are certain guys you already know. You could double team me, triple team me. I don't care. I'm going to make this shot. Once again, here's Cade's numbers for the four games. In the fourth quarter, 8 points, 4 points, 7 points, 7 points. Here's Brunson, 12, 14, 12, 15. Okay? He's taking over, and he's almost doubling Cade's point production.
He's also doing it on just it's either at or just a shade below 50% from the field. He's also top 30 in all four games of the series, which no one does in the playoffs. I think he scored 133 points. 140, whatever. What are you talking about?
It's okay to just tip your hat and give somebody their flowers and say, you know what? They're doing a damn good job. It doesn't make Cade any less of a player to just say Brunson is out here balling. And guess what? Cade is younger. He has his opportunity to be that guy one day, but it ain't right now. Sorry.
Yes, David.
My biggest issue is JB keeps taking Asar off the floor, who defends him well in the fourth. I'm sick of seeing him sacrifice defense for Beasley and Schroeder.
Yeah, well, the problem is Asar can't score.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like, it's not January.
That layup he missed, or it was like a 5-foot shot, and he just missed everything.
But this is the point. You cannot, if you have Duren and you have Asar on the floor at the same time, you're playing 3-on-5. Yes, you're right. There are alley-oop opportunities or put-back opportunities, but you're not – those guys are literally no threat to anyone.
It's why the Knicks leave Thompson open. Whenever he's don't you dare run over there. Let him shoot that three because he'll miss it.
One more, David. I'll go to the caller.
Speaking of missing, someone text, Malik Beasley has made 4 out of 27 three-point attempts over the last 3 games. Unacceptable in the playoffs. Well, Frank at work.
Once again, it's not a Tuesday night in February. Be careful, because I'll tell you what's going to happen this summer. They're going to hand him a lot of money.
You really think so?
I'd be real careful about, oh, yeah, he fits the culture. He's tough like we are. Rough and right. Okay. Watch. 4 to 100 downloading. I'm just telling you. This is who they are. I'm begging them not to. And listen, I'll be unequivocal. There's a place for Malik Beasley on my team as a 7th or 8th guy off the bench. At this stage of his career, that's where I would have him. He ain't going to be one of the faces of my franchise, and he's not going to be one of my highest paid guys.
Right. Now, if he was out there lighting up for the three-pointer, that's a difficult decision I got to make this summer. But
sure it is.
Malik, let's just put the tape on, baby. And you tell me, you really 4 or 5 on 1?
Aren't you already paying your backup center $15 a year?
Mm-hmm.
Be careful. You need stars, man. Let's go to Joshua 97.1. Josh, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, man. What's going on?
Hey, I was just watching the game, and, I mean, it became so apparent. We need another star. I mean, I was watching some of these other teams in the playoffs. Like, I caught the Minnesota game right after. I mean, that's a lineup full of killers. It doesn't matter who you give the ball to in the fourth quarter. They all want the ball. As opposed to our team, it looks like, I mean, Cade wants the ball, and then it looks like everybody else is kind of just I caught up in the moment. You can't count on Asar for offense. You can't count on any of our big men for offense. And you look at someone like them, they got Ant-Man, Randall, Naz Reid is knocking down big shots. So, yeah, I just think I'm proud of our season, but we're not ready yet.
No, work in progress.
Another star.
Work in progress. Listen, Josh, this summer they can make a big change. They can get where they got to go. I'm not mad in the least. But it's okay to talk about your team and the things that are needed. And I know what's coming. This summer we'll have conversations, and I'm going to get yelled at nonstop because any player I bring up isn't perfect. Well, there are no perfect players. I mean, I could tell you right now, a guy who would fit really well here, and it's Risk It Biscuit. If it works, you're a championship contender. If it doesn't work, you got enough assets that you can go back into the trade market and fix it. But it's Zion. You can laugh, snicker, do whatever you like. He'd be on a 3-year deal. He'd be about 20% of your salary cap. He can play on ball where you can ISO and he can just be a downhill freight train. He can be a pick and roll player. He can play multiple positions. He has one of the highest player efficiency ratings when he's healthy. He needs a change of scenery, clearly. The point I'm making is you can get him discounted. You know, if you have that type of guy in the fourth quarter, let me tell you something. That's someone where now I could have Cade off the ball in action, and I've got Zion isolated against an undersized player guarding him, and I'm going to the free throw line.
Let me just go ahead and do the bingo card of Ticket Texas. I know. Going to be rolling in. Out of shape, can't stay healthy. Are you kidding me? We don't need that. He's not tough. He only plays 5 games a year, Mike. Are you crazy? David, did I get any of them?
No, that's fine.
Not yet, but I'm sure Roof still
okay. No, and look, both things can be true. The only reason he's available is the availability. If he were perfect, he'd never be available, or he would cost you 10 first-round picks.
And here's a funny thing. This town loves one of the old-school NBA knuckleheads, and that was Rasheed Wallace.
Sure they do.
Nobody. Rasheed just went to teams and tore them apart, and then he came here. And he won, and we loved him.
I'm not pounding my fist on the desk, and it's got to be this way. No, I'm just saying. I don't think you would need to give up multiple first-round picks. I do think you'd need to give up one of a Ron Holland or a Sir Thompson, maybe a Bobby Clinton, you know, whatever, filler. Probably throw a Tobias in there for salary. The bottom line is, that's the type of move. I think if you make it and it works, look at the risk-reward. If it doesn't work, can I fix it?
Yeah,
because he's only on a 3-year deal.
Hey. Or we send him a box of beignets and he doesn't make weight.
Okay. I tried. We'll go to Chris.
I'm with you.
Chris, what's going on, buddy?
Bing bong, boys. How you guys doing?
Bing bong,
Chris. So real quick, you guys remember I called Thursday?
Yeah, buddy.
All right. So I would definitely give 2 first picks to Cade. I mean, for Christ's sake, we gave 5 for Bridges. That was a stupid text. So there's a bunch of things that people should be upset about. You know, first, let's think about Bickerstaff blowing his challenge load in the first 2 minutes of the game. Josh Hart was shoved in the back during that game during that play by Tobias Harris. They blew the 11-point lead. And you guys want to cry about the calls as Pistons fans, and you want the game called equal. And then, well, you're not the bad boys anymore when you guys are getting roughed around as well. But the big thing is during that last shot by Hardaway, he leaned into the contact, which really made him double clutch and shy away from his natural shot. So be mad at him for changing his entire approach on that shot. But, I mean, I don't have a whole lot left to say, guys, except grab them fishing poles because they may have been going back to work, but now they're laid off. Let's go, Nick.
Oh, boy. Chris dropping the mic. What am I going to say?
From the top rope.
That ain't my fight. Hey, Chris, enjoy the fishing pole Boston's got coming your way. I can't wait.
Well, he could point and say, hey, Knicks, fish really biting over there.
Big pole. What a pole. The best pole.
We'll talk about the Kentucky Derby later this week.
Listen. Get me started. 248. Oh, God. 248-539-9797. More of the phone calls. Got a football today, top of the hour. And I'll tell you what we'll do, David. Top of the hour, we'll kind of put a stop on Pistons talk. We'll get to the blitz, and then I want to get into the Lions draft day. We can always bring the Pistons back in the five, but we'll knock out as many calls as we can between now and then. All right, straight to the people. If you're looking for Lions draft coverage, we'll get there. It's been an overwhelming response to Pistons, rightfully so. 94-93 and a heartbreaker yesterday, but what it means and kind of what they need to do moving forward, assuming they don't pull off the impossible and rally and win the series. Matt is up next, 97.1. Matty, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah, good afternoon, guys.
Afternoon, Matt. What's up?
I'll get right into it. You know, look, as a Pistons fan, I don't know how else, you know, what else more you could ask for. We had the last shot of the game. Our superstar took it open at the corner. I mean, that goes down, the game's over, right? Like, there's a second or two on the clock, and maybe Brunson or Cat make another miracle shot. The Knicks did everything that they were supposed to at the end of the game to win it. I'm not going to hinge on a foul call with 0.1 seconds left. I mean, let's also talk about Hardaway going for a dunk at the end of the quarter when he could have just laid it in, or they're trying to make an alley-oop play on that possession.
Hey, Matt, maybe you could have reviewed it. Oh, wait, you didn't have one.
Well, and that happened in the game before that, too, Bickerstaff. I mean, Tobias Harris is on the free throw line telling you not to review it because he clearly knows the difference between smacking a hand and smacking the ball. And then we got five other plays that all are challenge-worthy. What are you doing? At least listen to players. The first time I've never seen an NBA player do the little spinning wheel with his finger to review it because he was like, don't review it. And Bickerstaff did that anyway. That was on Thursday. But, I mean, look at Mikal Bridges for them, right? ISO defender. Makes the turnovers. On top of that, hit two outrageous three-pointers before Cat and Brunson did really anything. It was Mikal Bridges hitting two corner threes to keep them in the game. And that was the difference. I mean, if you're an NBA fan, you understand that turnovers and three-pointers are everything. And our guys didn't hit them. You know, I love Beasley. But sorry, Beasley, that cash isn't checking anymore. You know, like, you just walked away from a contract by how you played in the playoffs. We don't need a bunch of regular season warriors. We need guys that are going to do it in the big time. And I don't know if it's necessarily superstars or, you know, you got to get them up to play, but you had your chance. And my last thing I'll say is go back and watch Asar Thompson these last three games. If anybody is out there thinking that this guy is really anything, I mean, I don't see it at all. And the turnovers, he looks like Bambi out there, like doesn't know what he's doing, throwing the ball away. He has good defense on Brunson? Really? Is that why he dropped 30 every game and 14 in every fourth quarter?
Matt, listen.
I mean, he doesn't play hard.
Matt, here's what I want to do. I don't want you to think I'm disagreeing with you because I largely share your sentiment. I think what we do in this town, I just want to try to explain how this happens. So what we do in this town is we get seduced by our guys and we knock everyone else. And all towns have an element of it, but in Detroit, oh my God. There was a time people thought you could trade Rip Hamilton for Kevin Garnett. So just, you remember those shows.
Oh, yeah.
Look.
Amir Johnson for Kobe Bryant.
Asar, I'm not going to write the story on a player who's missed some time and who's only 2 years in, okay? But the idea that he's a sacred cow when I bring up names, whether it's a Devin Booker, a Lowry Markkanen, a Zion Williamson, no, that's where I laugh. Because what I can't do is wait years for you. I have Cade in his prime now. I can't wait years. So I lean more towards what he just had to say, which is, look, Asar could be a high-level defender, could be an open-floor guy if this team decides to play with great pace. But Rico, you know what I don't know that it'll ever be? The three to the D. The 3-and-D? Right. If you can't shoot the triple at 37-38%, what am I going to do with you? Because he has no offensive game. Mm-hmm. Yes, he had a nice spin move in game two. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, so that's where this summer, but again, I know Trajan Langdon didn't sign it, but you're already paying Beefs. So what did Beefs do sign? 4 at 60? You know, that's 15 mil to your backup center. You want to run out and pay Beasley 22, 23 a year? I don't. but they probably will. Mm-hmm. See, these are the dangerous moments.
You know what? I'm going to wait to see what Trajan does. I'm not going to lump him into this whole we're going to keep the band together type of thing. Maybe he does something different.
Respect. All right. Bernard, 97.1. Bernard, what's going on?
Hey, what's happening, fellas? Hey. I'm just enjoying the conversations. You know, we're having fun, man. You know, the Pistons are, as we know, they're a young team. And you're right. You know, this offseason is definitely critical to bring some consistent pros in that's going to score. And, you know, and to heighten the talent on the floor that will give us, you know, the potential, you know, for a real championship run similar to the Indiana Pacers. That's the pace that we're on right now. But I'm going to say this, you know, being a referee, I'm going to take you inside the last few seconds of a conversation that all referees on every level has. And the conversation is this. And trust me, in no way am I one of those piston zealots that, like you said, you know, wowsy, always me. You got to know the game. You got to understand the game. You know, but the last seconds on that last time our referees get together and they say this, I don't care what level it is, call the obvious, protect the shooter. They did not do either or. They didn't do either or. There should have been a foul call, as we all know. Guthrie came on, and he said it, but yet and still, you were the crew chief that was standing 5 feet away, and you did nothing. You did nothing in what you were obligated to do as an official. So whether we won or lost at this point, it really don't matter. You know, it'll never happen again as far as that game's concerned. And we lost. Whether, you know, he came out and said it, who cares if the NBA came out with a two-minute report? The only thing that did was to help cover their butt on that terrible no-call that Guthrie did not make, that really, in truth, it did cost the Pistons the game. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no, Bernard, I think you put it right. And look, I just don't have the anger because I'm thrilled they're here. And yeah, it could be 2-2. I hate saying stuff like that, but it could very easily. But the margin, what do we talk about at the start? The playoffs are all about margins. Mm-hmm. And you don't have any margin. This isn't the regular season where 5 out of every 7 games you're playing a team that doesn't care. Mm-hmm. So the margins aren't big. Rico opened the show in his lovely Caribbean green Q-zip today. You had damn near 20 turnovers. That's outside the margin. You shot 24% from 3. That's outside the margins. You let Jalen Brunson clap you up in the fourth again and again and again. That's outside the margins. Like, you don't have that ability. Now, if it's like, let's say it's the Warriors and Jimmy Butler's out. You're playing a Houston team that is kind of the Western equivalent of the Pistons. The Warriors have a greater margin for error because they have a unicorn in Steph Curry.
They have a superstar. And a superstar can bail you out of a bad thing. But yes, you're right. When you're playing in a series this closely contested, you can't have two games where you have damn near 20 turnovers because that's a recipe for losing. That's how you lost game one. That's how you lost yesterday. It is what it is, people.
248-539-9797. We'll get more of the people in the mix. We got to get to a football today. People want to rap about their basketball team. Happy to do it because let's be honest. It's not like the Lions had a top 5 draft pick, but I think people want to talk draft. What I'd love is if you would just call about draft, but the problem is, and it's a good problem to have, Piston fans want the microphone. So we'll continue rolling.
Let's go forward.
97.1.